Craig Bolanos joins us, the CEO and founding partner with Wealth Management Group in Inverness and Downers Grove. Welcome back, Craig. How are you?
John, great to be with you. What a newsworthy week. There were elections. There was a Fed meeting, and you said it, Dow 44,000, S&P 6,000. Plenty of content for you and I to banter about on a Friday.
I thought you would say something like that. So what jumps out at you the most? I mean, most recently, it's these markets. I wonder what your interpretation of that is.
Well, I think if anything, it's this. You know, I'm still looking at the house because it hasn't been fully settled and bedded yet. But it appears to me the market has fully priced in now a extension of the TCJA, the Tax Cut and Jobs Act. And I tell you, the market didn't anticipate that that was going to happen. And with this, is it a bullish game changer? No, the economy was already doing okay. No, the stock market was already doing well. But I think what it does is it provides some legs for this rally to extend through the end of the year and perhaps kick off 2025 on a good foot.
But that's anticipating regulatory changes. It's not the fundamentals of these companies. Hey, I want the market to go as high as it can go, but I'm just wondering how real this is.
You know, when people say, is it real, is it not? You know, the first question is this. You know, with markets being at all-time highs, is it a bad time to invest? I remind investors that there's these old, old axioms. New highs tend to beget new highs. The trend is your friend. And if we look at things, this soft landing, John, is still intact. Maybe it's actually going to be no landing. We're doing some in-flight refueling, as hard as that is to believe. But I do think some of the changes are substantial and material. And I think we're seeing evidence that the generative AI is improving the bottom lines in worker productivity in non-tech related companies. And that's going to help profits continue to roll in into the future.
Okay, well, we can talk about generative AI, but it sounds like you're saying, though, that really this is anticipating the new administration and the new Congress, and it's going to be so favorable to business that these jumps in the markets, however preliminary, are real, that this is going to be sustainable, right?
I think we're pulling forward right now what would be some of 2025 gains, assuming there is, in fact, this view. I don't know that the view is right, that the agenda and the votes are there for pro-growth policies of deregulation, less red tape. The elephant in the room, of course, is you got to pay attention to treasury yields and the potential for trade issues that could very well come up in 2025.
Well, are you surprised that the market seems to be ignoring that right now?
You know, well, I don't know that the market's ignoring it. I mean, if you take a look at stocks of importers, they obviously haven't done well since the election was settled late in Tuesday night and a Wednesday morning. You look at China, I don't think they're doing that well when I look at their indices relative to dollar terms. And what did China announce this morning? A $1.4 trillion stimulus package. Maybe China's trying to get ahead of some economic slowdown that they might experience as a byproduct of a Trump victory and what looks to be a red wave in Congress.
As Steve Alexander just had the story of, is it Steve Madden, the shoe manufacturer? The shoes are made largely in China and anticipating tariffs that will make it less profitable for them. They're going to move the manufacturing. That's the promise of high tariffs, but not to the United States, Steve said, maybe to Cambodia or Vietnam. I don't know what that means vis-a-vis these trade wars, but obviously importers are noticing or are anticipating high tariffs. Do you think that that will actually happen?
You know, I want to remind everybody that it's not correct that President-elect Trump has unchecked powers to levy tariffs. He doesn't. What is correct, though, is that if his administration meets certain burdens of proof to greenlight tariffs against a country, well, that can happen. China's probably in the crosshairs. But with so many of our other trading partners that we have legal treaties with, think Mexico, etc., there's not broad powers to make any big moves. But yes, there is going to be a redirection of capital based on how tariffs do or do not play out on a global stage. And some companies are wise to hedge their bets so they don't get caught offsides.
What impact is the Fed having on the markets right now? Are those separate? Are these parallel tracks, or are they intersecting a little bit?
There is some cross-pollinization. There is some intersection. The market was very, I'm going to call it, relieved to hear that the Federal Reserve gave us what we expected, which is that 0.25% reduction yesterday. I think the market is still very convinced that we'll have a follow-on or a repeat of another 0.25% worth of saving in December. But the market now, as a result of the election, is changing its tune. And I think the Fed is also hedging a bit as well during their transcripts, where a rate cut by the Fed in January is no longer guaranteed. The Fed may go on pause in early 2025, because we have to remember that if there's large stimulus that comes through an easy passage of legislation in Congress, that in itself might re-spark inflation, and the Fed's going to have to know how that's going to play out before they continue with their policy.
Craig Bolanos joins us, the co-founder and CEO of Wealth Management Group. He's a believer in this market run that we've had. This is a bull market. Wasn't it you, Craig, that said that the average bull market lasts something like 50 months and we were only 13 months in when you said it?
I most certainly did. I think this party's going to continue, due in large part to no one believes it. You're right, John. Bull markets die with euphoria, and normal investors and people all around the globe still don't feel euphoric, and that means markets can continue to climb a wall of worry and trade higher.
So you talked a little bit about the Fed and interest rates. You see 0.25% coming, but you're not so certain about January, right? Well, we just had 1/4. You see another 1/4 in maybe December, but not January. Is that right?
Yeah, we're going to have a pause starting in 2025. I think it would actually be responsible for the Fed to do such because, again, depending on what you see in terms of tax policy, maybe we talk about that, fiscal stimulus programs, the Fed wants to make sure they're not offsides in case Congress ends up working against them inadvertently by re-sparking inflation.
Well, I hope all this works out. I'm pretty skeptical, though, and I wonder, too, if you reduce corporate taxes and taxes on the highest earners in this country, the wealthiest people, I'm being asked to believe that it'll all trickle down. Is that what we are betting on? So tariffs and lower taxes are going to stimulate the economy so much that we'll be able to reduce debt and provide for the needs of people. That's the plan, right? It's not going to spark inflation. It's not going to maybe lead us into a recession. I'm almost done with the question I'm asking. Remember that economists said before the election that, in fact, that would happen. Craig?
Well, you know what? Tax cuts are a signature part of his program, right? And I think if he's got the will and the mandate now with Congress, you know, at a minimum, there's going to be an extension of the Tax Cut and Jobs Act. And I do think that part at least is important. I don't know that anybody should be going any further than that, because the Tax Cut and Jobs Act did lower that corporate tax from 35 to 21. That makes us competitive. It did reduce the individual income tax rates up and down the spectrum, increase the standard deduction. That's all good. I mean, if you're asking for some opinion, I'd love to see them focus a little bit on the child tax credit and expanding that for kids 0 to 6. Vice President-elect J.D. Vance had suggested that. But we need to be careful how much we cut in taxes, because if the economy doesn't grow assertively, all we end up doing is adding to the deficit, and that could have the bad vigilantes come back out and get us all in trouble.
Well, do you worry about that? I mean, nobody does, but it's right there, right? I mean, does there come a point where some administration is going to feel the consequences of the debt and the deficit?
Yeah, I mean, correct or not, the market is celebrating these perceived pro-growth policies because there was some rhetoric on the other side of the table about raising corporate tax rates. But the bond market, what is oftentimes viewed as the smart money, if you look at bond yields, you can see that the bond market views Republican control of Washington as somewhat negative for debts and deficits. And that's one of the reasons that even though the Fed has cut rates, mortgage rates really haven't gone down here because the 10-year Treasury is staying high. So ultimately, yes, this is all going to come home to roost. Someone's going to have to deal with it. And we all know that you can't continue to write checks, that your economy cannot necessarily cash. And we're finally getting to that point where the interest on our debt is so large and substantive, we're starting to get into some tougher waters.
And mortgage rates are based on the Treasury yields?
Yes. You know, the Federal Reserve cutting rates yesterday, it's going to help with credit cards. It's going to ultimately help with some things of that nature. But other stuff like mortgage rates, taking a look at student loan rates, those aren't tied to the federal funds rate. Those are tied to market rates, activities in the bond market. And what the bond market is telling us is the bond market's a little bit weary of trade wars, the bond market's a little bit weary of what could be some increases in the deficit if things work the way they did in 2016. So that doesn't mean the bond market's right. It doesn't mean the administration's right. It just means all of this is a difficult needle to thread because there's a lot of variables that go into policy decisions and the complexity of a global economy.
One more thing, Craig, though, you said the trend is your friend. So if I have another $1,000, I won the lottery, I've inherited $1,000. I mean, where would you put any investable cash right now?
For investable cash, I think you still have to favor U.S. markets as an overweight. And I think you should also take a look at adding to the places that are underrepresented in most people's portfolios, that are value stocks, financial stocks, insurance stocks, energy companies, and don't forget the S&P 600, which is small caps, as opposed to being overweight in the S&P 500. That's how I would be positioning an additional $1,000 of long-term investment.
And if I were adjusting that little pie chart, would I stay away from foreign stocks?
I think it's really hard to overweight foreign equity right now based on currency and based on potential tariffs. Don't get me wrong, John. Emerging markets are cheap. Europe and Far East is cheap. The PEs are low, but they're low for a reason. Not all countries have come out as well as we have post-COVID. Not all economies are humming at the same pace. And I would rather be a little bit late to the party internationally as opposed to taking a chance and going early.
But here, the NASDAQ is even doing well, right? The tech stocks are seeing new highs as well, right?
Yeah, and it's not just the companies in the Magnificent Seven. You're seeing a broadening in technology because, again, there's other players besides just the Magnificent Seven. Qualcomm had a good week. There's a number of companies that have had good weeks. And what that tells to somebody involved in markets like myself is I love it when we see broader participation, more stocks helping the cause than just a handful. I mean, we're not fully there yet, but it looks like a pretty decent recipe on a Friday afternoon.
You can reach Craig Bolanos at investwithwmg.com. Craig Bolanos is the co-founder and CEO of Wealth Management Group. Nice to talk to you today, Craig.
Thanks, John. Great to be with you.
John Williams, Pete Zimmerman is here too, and Kathy Scherer is the managing partner at Deloitte in Chicago. Hi, Kathy. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm good. I'm curious about Next Gen Greenhouse. This is a new creation by Deloitte. Tell us what that is.
Yeah, so our Next Gen Greenhouse is actually a space that we have here in our Chicago offices. It is fairly large. It's about 10,000 square feet of space. And what we use this space for is actually to help our clients solve their most complicated problems, and really spark breakthrough. It is designed to be very different than a traditional business meeting space, so it's immersive. It uses best-in-class technology, and I think what really brings about the magic, too, is it's very human-centered. So we have facilitators that are really experienced in setting the stage for really bringing about that breakthrough thinking.
Hmm. So this is a physical space, though, that you provide a service in. What would be an example of a client and how would they use it?
Yes, it is physical space, and really any type of client could use it. So we have startup businesses that come in, as well as Fortune 100 companies, and really any type of business transformational problem that a client is trying to solve could be talked about in this space. So it could be a new product innovation, new talent strategies, expansion strategies, or trying to implement a new operating model.
But it's
where clients are trying to think about approaching a problem in a different and non-traditional way.
What is unique about it then? That is it because you all facilitate these thought sessions, or is there something technological in your greenhouse that helps people find solutions?
Yeah, that's a great question. So part of it is the facilitation, but it's a very immersive space. So it allows clients to feel things, see things, touch things differently than they would in a normal space. And we use a lot of really innovative technologies, new technologies, to help clients see things differently. So things like generative AI, holograms, LiDAR technology, digital twin technology is all incorporated into the space.
Is it up and running now, or is this something you're about to launch?
It is up and running. We actually cut the ribbon on it in June, and we've been conducting live sessions in it since July. And it's got several different components. Getting back to the technologies, we have things like an immersive dome, which is, if you can picture, a circular room with a dome and a 270-degree screen that really allows clients to be immersed, that uses some of the LiDAR technology. We have a hologram that uses generative AI technology, and you can speak to it and gives you lots of answers to your questions. It can talk in 35 different languages. And we also have, just where clients enter the space, a mechanical installation that is a Rube Goldberg type of installation that actually uses Chicago inventions like the Ferris wheel and the zipper to actually demonstrate how decision points can be critical, or how chain reactions can cause things to occur. And we have a digital twin with that too, so it allows clients to experience it. It's very active space that you're not sitting all day long, but really up and experiencing things.
I wonder if taking people out of their comfort zone or their, the place where they normally work and think and try and solve problems, maybe sometimes just a different space, particularly one that sounds this fun, if nothing else, sort of sparks the creative solving of some of these problems. But I would still like you to describe for me a client you have and a problem that they came to you to resolve.
Sure, I can definitely give you some examples of that. So we had a client that I worked with in the space, and they were considering an expansion strategy, and they had different stakeholders that actually had different points of view on how they should approach this expansion. So the thing about the space, I mean, we call the sessions actually labs in the sense that we want the stakeholders to come in and feel like it's experimental, that it's exploratory, that's innovative. So the facilitation aspect of it is important because we want it to feel like a safe space for everyone to bring about their ideas and view it as a creation opportunity. We use the different technologies to try to help clients actually visualize what different things could look like, as opposed to, you know, again, in a traditional business setting where you would actually maybe just be drawing things on a whiteboard, for example, or looking at a PowerPoint. So we were actually able to pull up different physical pictures of what an expansion like what might look like in this area versus that area.
Expansion, meaning the brick-and-mortar stores. Maybe we've got 100 stores in Illinois, but we'd like to do 500 in the Midwest. And maybe you ask the generative AI, you know, talk to me about cash flow or what's a likely outcome.
Yep.
And this space, you can do all of that.
Yeah, exactly. And in this case, it was actually different locations in parts of the country. So we were able to pull up examples of what that might look like in Arizona versus in Michigan.
Yeah. So, screen, do we actually see then a store or the facility in an industrial park or at a strip mall or something like that in all these?
Exactly.
And that somehow helps them visualize and strategize what to do, huh?
Exactly. Yeah. And the other thing I should mention, I mean, we when we're working with clients, always do pre-work and we define what the problem is that we're trying to solve before we actually enter the day. And so each session, although we use some formats and technologies that are similar in every session, is very customized to the particular problem.
This is fascinating. Kathy Scherer is the managing partner at Deloitte here in Chicago, and I'm anxious to hear more stories about how the technology is being used, Kathy. Thanks for your time today.
Yeah, thank you. It was great talking to you.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Sounds fun, if nothing else. More business news. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Chicago-based U.S. Cellular will sell some of its spectrum assets to AT&T for $1 billion. It's part of the company's ongoing portfolio liquidation. The transaction is part of U.S. Cellular's plan to unload portions of the spectrum that weren't included in a previous sale to T-Mobile. The company is no longer a provider of mobile phone service, but does control one of the largest cell tower businesses in the country. If this sale goes through, U.S. Cellular will have offloaded about 70% of its total spectrum holdings, according to Bloomberg. Chicago's Molson Coors says its annual net sales will fall this year. The beverage company blames what it calls a challenging consumer environment in the U.S. Its brands include Coors Light and Miller Lite. Molson Coors says its sales will fall about 1% this year compared to last year. Third quarter net sales were down 7.8%. Other brewers are also struggling in the U.S. market because of depressed consumer spending, including Anheuser-Busch InBev and Heineken. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Okay, business of food now. Here's Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you. And last week on our Mr. Fizz Friday.
And now the end is near.
But today, the end is no longer near. It's here. Hi, Jim.
Hello, Steve.
He has some final jobs for you to do to get the garden buttoned up for the winter. After I thank the Chevy Silverado for sponsoring us today, there's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Find out how at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Okay, gardening guru Jim Fizell is here with a few things to take care of before the snow falls.
This is going to be our last weekly report for the season, so it's time to finish up the garden. By the way, I get quite a few nursery catalogs, garden seed catalogs and so forth, and I noticed there's some sales going on right now. So you can order the plants, and the seeds will be delivered in spring right about the right time for our area. Okay, it's time to pull out all the spent vegetable plants, chop them up, and bury them. I like to bury them where they grew. Then, actually, next year, don't plant in the same place. If you have tomatoes in this section this year, move them to some other place. The rotation works in gardens just as well as it does for field crops. By the way, make a note of where you put these things or where you got these things. I use a spiral notebook. At the top of each page, I write the year, and when something interesting happens or when I do various things, I write it down so I know where it was, what it was, and so forth. After your last mowing, service your mower. Change the oil, sharpen the blade, drain the fuel, add stabilizer. stabilizer. And while you're working on your equipment, get the snowblower out, start it up to make sure it's going to run, collect all the garden tools, clean all the metal parts, and just wipe them with an oily rag that keeps them from rusting. And find the snow shovel wherever you got it, hang it up where you can find it in a hurry, because one morning it's going to be a lot of snow and you're going to want to get it out of the way so you can get out and go to work. Collect all the chemicals, lock them up so kids can't get them. Then take a walk around the garden, make sure all is well, fill the bird feeder, stack some firewood where you can get it, and retire indoors for a cup of hot chocolate and a piece of homemade pie.
Mr. Fizz, gardening guru Jim Fizzell on the food calendar. It's National Cappuccino Day and National Harvey Wallbanger Day. Remember, without farmers, no walls would be banged. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
Jennifer Frank joins us now with the Insulators Local 17, where she is, among other things, a part-time instructor and an insulator herself. In fact, I understand she may just be coming from a job right now. Jennifer, are you there?
Yes, sir. Coming live from the Shedd Aquarium, actually.
Yeah, I heard that you guys are working on an insulation project over at Shedd, huh?
Yes, that's correct. We insulate mechanical systems, and right now the Shedd Aquarium is in a multi-phase renovation, and right now we are just wrapping up phase two of four.
So just tell me a little bit about the trade, insulators. I know what attic insulation is. What do you all do?
So we are mechanical insulators, meaning we do it on like a commercial and industrial base type. And to put it simply, is that if there's anything that needs to stay hot, we keep it hot. If there's anything that needs to stay cold, we keep it cold. So like in the summertime, when you take a soda pop out of the cooler and it's sweating all over the place, you put a koozie on it. We do that with the mechanical systems like your plumbing and your HVAC and your steam lines and different associations with the mechanical systems.
Now, you are also, though, part of an effort to not only recruit people to the trade, but to encourage women to get into the trade as well, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Talk to me a little bit about the apprentice program for men or women, or is there something special to encourage ladies to get into the business?
So most of our apprenticeship programs, say ours in particular, is a 5-year apprenticeship program. The great thing about our apprenticeships is that you earn while you learn. You don't incur any debt or anything like that. Like when you go off to college, you consume tens of hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt. And that's not the case with the apprenticeship. I work with our apprenticeship as far as going out to high schools and job fairs to try to promote like who we are, that it's a possibility, and that, you know, check us out. I mean, we've got different websites that you guys can go to and so on and so forth.
Who are you looking for? Is it high school graduates, college graduates? Is it job changers? Describe for me who you want to hear from.
Honestly, we want to hear from everybody. Somebody out of high school, that's great because of the fact that they're young and they're eager, but also to somebody that's maybe in like their mid-20s or mid-30s who's been around and is ready for something new, a change, you know, because what they're currently doing, they're not happy with. Mm-hmm. So, well, honestly, we're open to everybody.
I don't need a college degree or a junior college degree.
No, sir. Just a high school diploma is all that, or a GED is all that we ask.
It's a 5-year, you said, apprenticeship program, and you earn while you learn. But can you talk to me about wages? What do people in your trade make?
So once you become a full mechanic, after you've gone through the apprenticeship, you will be making at about $55 an hour.
And then who employs an insulator like this, a union insulator? Are there businesses that are looking for these people?
Yeah, so we actually have insulation contractors out there, that these shops, that basically all they deal in is insulation itself. So they are the ones that would be hiring us.
$55 an hour is over $100,000 a year. What about benefits? Does the union provide those? Does the employer provide those?
So it's through our contract. Basically, we negotiate a contract, and it's a commutative to where they provide us with a pension, they provide us with health care, and also an annuity. So we technically have two retirements.
How's business for you all?
Business is very well. Due to the Biden and Harris administration and different programs that they've been creating, that they did create, you know, we've seen a large increase in the construction industry, especially the infrastructure side.
So if folks are interested in this, maybe insulators.org, shall we send them there?
Yes, please do. And it's all global and parts of Canada as well.
Jennifer Frank is with the Insulators, Local 17, part-time instructor, too, at the apprenticeship school, insulators.org. Jennifer, thanks for your time.
Thank you so much.
It's 12:57 on her way from a job at the Shedd Aquarium. That's interesting. Anything that is hot needs to stay hot, they do that. Anything that's cold and needs to stay cold, they do that, too.